The next case of the day is number 033062, Saidi against the Attorney General. Mr. Trace.
May it please the Court, Richard Trace on behalf of the petitioner, Saidi Saidi, counsel. This is an action that arose out of an application for political asylum, and there are only a couple of issues that I care to argue here, and one was that the petitioner, the respondent below, was more or less rushed into his application, although certainly by his doing and his lawyer's doing before that, but at the time that the judge made the decision that he would allow an application for asylum, he was only given, I think, 18 days to present his case.
And what do you have any specifics or details as to what he would have done with more time, or how he thinks he could have changed the outcome of the case?
Yeah, the only thing.
And was that laid out before the district court? More importantly, immigration judge.
Before the immigration judge, I don't think it was laid out. It's just that the judge did make notes that in his decision he noted that in fact there was no corroboration of the material. Specifically, I think we were talking about letters from his relatives who lived in Karachi that would support whatever violence had occurred against the Shia Muslims by the Sunni Muslims, and that the letters from the brothers and the sisters might have supported his case and established or further established his fear of returning. I believe that's about the only evidence he could have obtained, but that the respondent said would take a few weeks, more than a couple of weeks to get that. So in some sense, he was not allowed to have his full hearing. I realize that the matters that affect the application for asylum relating to the actual suffering and the fear aren't as strong as some other cases because he wasn't there for many, many years and he only came back a couple of times and it wasn't directly by the government, but my only point is that he really didn't have a complete chance, I think, to present his case. That's just the one point. The other point was that I don't think it was frivolous. I think he had a reasonable claim. I don't think there was anything false that went to the claim, anything in his statement, anything in his testimony, anything inconsistent that would really justify a filing of frivolousness. And the effect of that is fairly serious. He's forever barred from any relief in the United States to enter. And so I think that's a fairly important point. And the judge, I can only guess, who was irritated at this particular case and wanted to move it along, and I suspect irritated that he even brought the asylum application and filed it on that late date. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Thank Trace. We'll hear now from Mr. Wood.
May it please the Court, I'm John Wood on behalf of the Attorney General. This is a case in which the petitioner had six hearings before the immigration judge over the course of a year and a half. Through the first three of his hearings, the petitioner never so much as suggested that he had been persecuted while in Pakistan. Indeed, the petitioner expressly disclaimed any intention of seeking asylum here in the United States. Instead, the petitioner sought numerous continuances on several different grounds. First, so that he could seek landed immigration status in Canada. Second, so that he could seek new counsel, despite the fact that he had had two previous counsel and had said at that very same immigration hearing that he wanted to proceed pro se. And third, the petitioner sought a continuance based upon an alleged medical condition. Only after the immigration judge had granted him several continuances and told the petitioner that he would grant no more continuances did the petitioner state that he had to apply for asylum. In his asylum application, the petitioner relied upon an alleged incident in the 1990s in which he claimed that while in Pakistan, a group of Sunni Muslims came looking for him at his family's house and was unable to find him. Nowhere in this asylum application did the petitioner make any reference to any beating by that same group of Sunni Muslims. Nonetheless, at his final immigration hearing, the petitioner alleged for the first time that he had been beaten by that same group of Sunni Muslims in 1989. The immigration judge rejected the petitioner's claim and found that it was not credible for several reasons. First, the petitioner had visited the United States on more than one occasion after the alleged beating, that he did not apply for asylum during any of those visits, and that he in fact returned to Pakistan after those visits. Second, the petitioner had numerous appearances before the same immigration judge. He did not make any reference to this beating and instead sought continuances on numerous other grounds in order to delay his departure from the United States. Third, the petitioner's family continues to reside in Pakistan, apparently unharmed, despite the fact that they share his religious beliefs. And fourth, that the petitioner had offered no corroborating evidence whatsoever. Under these facts, there was more than substantial evidence to support the immigration judge's decision. The immigration judge's decision should be upheld unless the evidence was so compelling that no reasonable fact finder could fail to find the requisite fear of persecution. In any event, the petitioner's asylum claim is barred for a reason that is not even challenged in the petitioner's brief, namely the one-year bar. Finally, the petitioner raises an argument that he did not receive a full and fair hearing before the immigration judge at which he could present corroborative evidence.
Before you go on, that
yes.
No reasonable fact finder?
The quote was...
Who is that from?
That's from Elias Zacharias, 502 U.S. at 48384. The quote was...
You're supposed to take that language literally?
Yes, Your Honor.
That means if we were to grant relief, we'd have to commit somebody. No reasonable fact finder.
You would have to find that a reasonable fact finder would not have made the same determination
which
that the immigration
the guy,
judge.
Which means the guy who made it's nuts.
Right?
I mean, that's the rhetoric you guys throw at us all the time. You know, it's meaningless, really, in terms of what we got to do up here.
Well, with all due respect, Your Honor, I think that's the rhetoric coming from the Supreme Court. I'm simply quoting it.
And maybe that's exactly what it is, though, rhetoric, don't you think?
Well, regardless of whether...
You're wasting my time if it's not.
Pardon me?
You're wasting my time, right?
I don't believe that I'm wasting your time, Your Honor. That is...
I can only act if I'm willing to say the fact finder was nuts.
You could only act if you're willing to say that a reasonable fact finder would not have made the same ruling. In any event, there's more than substantial evidence to support the determination of the immigration judge. Back to the petitioner's claim that he did not receive a full and fair hearing. The petitioner had six appearances before the immigration judge over the course of a year and a half. This was more than ample opportunity to be heard, and he had more than sufficient time at which to gather and present any materials to corroborate his story. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Wood. You have 7 minutes, sir.
It's quite common that when you're before the immigration judge, you have several continuances until you get to the point that the case ripens for a final merits hearing. And I think that was at that last point in February that it finally ripened at that point. And I think at that time, maybe we should have a little more time. Thank you very much.
Well, of course, during all those previous times, you could have picked up those affidavits or letters from the family.
Exactly. And very often, immigration proceedings as well. You pursue one form of relief, and maybe you don't pursue them all at the same time. And I believe that's what he did. He tried to have landed immigrant status from Canada. I'm sure that failed, and now we want to pursue another form of relief. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Trace. Thank you to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.